Acts chapter 16. Don't worry, your pastor isn't that scatterbrained, but, you know, getting there. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Hopefully everybody got their plants in before last night. Because if you didn't, no need to worry now. Amen. Acts chapter 16, look if you would at verse 11. It says, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by the soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. Let's pray. Father, we thank again this morning, Lord, for your word. And I just pray that your word go out to the hearts of these people this morning, Lord, and help us to see the truth that's in it. And Lord, speak to our hearts the message that you want us to hear. If there's somebody here this morning, Lord, that isn't saved, Lord, help them to ask that same question, what must I do to be saved? It's the most important question that a person will ever have to ask or ever have to be answered. And Lord, I pray that everybody here today will know that they're going to heaven when they leave this place, Lord. And I pray that this morning that if there are people this morning that aren't right as Christians, that today they'll get right. Maybe there's something they need to take care of, Lord. Maybe there's somebody they need to forgive. Maybe there's some attitude they need to cast off, Lord. But whatever it is, Lord, just speak to our hearts this morning. And Lord, help us to see the great need to be used of you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in these verses, we read about how God used two men to do great things for him. When we read these verses, we see one person who got baptized. We see one person who was possessed and had a spirit cast out of her. And we see one man in jail who got saved. And eventually, his whole household ended up getting saved. And all three of these things were done in a very, very short time. I mean, we don't know exactly how long it took for all three of these events to happen, but it seems like when you read the scriptures, it seems like just in a couple of days, if that. And you had three major things happen. You had the lives of people changed an awful lot in a very short time. Now, to break each one of these events down even further, if you read back in verse 13 and 14, you'll read how Paul and Silas came to basically a ladies' prayer meeting, and they ran into a woman by the name of Lydia. Lydia listened to Paul as he preached. She got under conviction. She knew she needed to be baptized, so she ended up getting baptized. Not long after that, as they were walking away from that, Paul and Silas were walking along, and a woman who was possessed started following Paul and Silas. The Bible tells us that as this possessed woman began to follow them, she started mocking them day after day, until finally Paul had enough, and he turned to the woman and said to the spirit that was possessing her, he said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out of her the same hour. And when Paul said that, of course, the spirit was cast out of that woman. Now, understand that was not by Paul's power. That's by the power of Jesus Christ. That's when he said, I command the name of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ who did it, okay, through Paul. And so it's the power of God that cast out the spirit. Now, after that woman was rid of that evil spirit, and she could no longer make money because of the soothsayer, she had people that were counting her as a soothsayer to make them money. Well, obviously, after the spirit was cast out, she couldn't do that anymore. And so those people who had used this woman for gain got all upset because now they're not able to make the money that they were able to make before with this woman by using her. So they get all upset, so they take Paul and Silas before the magistrates and falsely accuse them. And it was then that the magistrates decided to beat Paul and Silas and threw them in jail there in Philippi, where the jailer himself would actually one day eventually get saved, and his whole household would end up getting saved. And you know, and after reading these verses, I began to think about how God used Paul and Silas to do great things. I mean, if you think right here in Acts chapter 16, if you don't read everything else that Paul did when he traveled on his three missionary journeys and he started churches and he won people to the Lord, if you just put all that aside, if you didn't read anything other than Acts chapter 16, that's a pretty good day. Amen? I mean, the Lord used him and Silas a lot that day. People's lives were changed a tremendous amount just in Acts chapter 16. And you know, and if you read the things that happened, I mean, just think about not only those people's lives, but the lives of their children and their grandchildren. And I mean, think about this, folks. When a person gets saved, then that person could tell their sons and daughters about Jesus Christ, and generations get changed. Amen? I mean, you're talking about just in a short amount of time, not just these three people had their lives changed, but entire generations from each one of these people had their lives changed. And so the book of Acts is full of account of God using people to do great things, especially here in Acts chapter 16. Now, just recently, my oldest son has been looking into our ancestry. I don't know how he's doing it, but he's getting an incredible amount of information. And he's found many people in down the Crowder line, and not just my dad's line, but my mom's line, and then it spreads out from there. And I mean, there are people that, I mean, he has shown me people in our past. For the Crowders, believe it or not, we go all the way back to the very first settlement. That's because Crowders, we've always had boys. Okay, but we go all the way back to the first settlement. A guy by the name of Hugh Crowder. And I mean, my son even found where he came across and saw the manifest coming from England, his name on it and everything. It's really cool seeing things like that. You know, I found out that we have I have one ancestor that was in the Pennsylvania militia during the Revolutionary War. I have one Crowder or one person in my ancestry that was born in 1776. That'd be a cool year to be born, amen. And so that happened. I found out that I had ancestors fighting on both sides in the war between the states. And eventually they had to get together. Who'd have thought that? Okay. You know, and we see I just learned a lot of interesting things as my son was showing me the people in my line of ancestry. And some things were good, and some things weren't good. I'm just going to tell you, when you start checking up on your family, you're going to find out that we're all sinners and come short of the glory of God. Amen? I mean, that's just the way it is. And so he showed me all these things. And then he began to send me pictures. And he'd send me pictures of my great-great-great-great-granddad and my great-great-great-great-grandmother. And, you know, when I looked at those pictures, you know, I would see the picture, and then I'd see below it, he'd write down so-and-such born on this date, died on this date. And I'd see a picture. And some pictures are hard to see, and some pictures aren't. And, you know, outside of seeing the face on that picture and the date of their birth and the date of their death, you know, I started looking at it, and I think to myself, that's really all I know about these people. I don't know what they did day to day. I don't know, you know, were they were a nice person, were they not a nice person. The only thing I know is I see a picture, a person's picture on a piece of paper that said, born on this day, died on this day. Now, I could find out what they did for a living, things like that, but I really don't know who the person is. And the more pictures that he began to send me, the more, to tell you the truth, the more humbling it got. Because I'm thinking, these people, I don't know anything about them, and nobody I know knows anything about them because they've been dead for years. Amen? And I started to think to myself, there has to be more to it in life than this. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I really would like to live a life to where I have an impact on people, that God can impact people through me, to where I'm more than just a picture on a piece of paper 3 generations from now. Amen? I'm not saying that my ancestors were not godly people. Maybe they were. I'm not saying they didn't win people to the Lord. Maybe they did. But I'm just thinking that, you know, when I start to see that, and I'm thinking, okay, born this day, died on that day, I tell you this, you know what that told me? That tells me that the whole book of Ecclesiastes is true when he says, vanity of vanities, it's all vanity. Why? These people are just a picture on a piece of paper with a date they were born, a date that they died. And listen, people today get all upset about who won the Super Bowl and who's winning the championship and who's playing and who's going to lose and who's going to win. All that stuff doesn't matter. 4 generations from now, you know what we're going to be? Just some people on a piece of paper and a picture. People say, who's that? I don't know. Never seen before in my life. That's your great, 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 great granddaddy. Well, amen. Amen? Listen, at the end of the day, we only live a short life. And what I'm saying is this, we need to make an impact. We need to allow God to work through us that we can impact the lives of somebody else to where we're just not a picture on a piece of paper. That's what we need to do. Now, I started thinking about Paul here. Paul and Silas were greatly used of God. You think about this. You think about the people. Let's take Lydia. Okay, so he walks up there, and Lydia's there, and she's with these ladies, and they're praying and everything, and she ends up gets baptized. She learns about baptism. She ends up getting baptized. She goes home, and you know good and well that's going to affect her family. Because now she can tell everybody else what she just heard from Paul. Great, had a great impact on her. And then you have this woman who had this spirit cast out of her. You think that didn't change her life forever? You think that didn't change her family's life forever? Her husband, if she was married, her kids, if she ever had kids, it changed everything forever. Think about the jailer. Here's a man who is lost and going to hell. He's in the jail and he gets saved. Not only that, but his family gets saved. Do you realize that jailer today and his family are in heaven right now? Would you say that a person's life was changed there? And don't you know that from generations after that, with jailer, even though one day maybe he ended up just a picture on a piece of paper, but somebody said, yeah, but that was Grandpa, and I remember he got saved in a jail back there, and then he told his son, and his son told my dad, and then my dad told me, you see the impact there? How many of you would like to be used of God like that? Everybody in this room should say yes, because that should be the attitude we have. We should all say, listen, I want my life to count for something for the Lord. I want God to use me to impact people, to be significant, to be relevant, to be able to change people's lives. I want to make a difference in this world by the power of God. That should be every one of us. We should not just settle for doing nothing. We should not settle for just doing nothing in this life and just end up being a picture on a piece of paper somewhere. We should all want to do great things for God and change people's lives. That's what we should want. Well, that's what Paul and Silas wanted too. And God used them in a mighty way. I mean, right there in Acts 16. I mean, that, like I said, they used them right there in Acts 16, but that's not even talking about all the other missionary journeys they went on. You say, well, I want to be like that. I want to be used. I want to be used like Paul and Silas. I want God to use me to affect people. How do I do that? Well, what we can do is we can do the exact same thing that Paul and Silas did. You see, in order to be put in a position where God could use them, they had to do certain things. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. God can use anybody, but he won't use you if you're not in a position where he can use you. What I'm saying is this. As a Christian, you can get away from the Lord, and you could go out here and you could live a life that's a worldly life, and God's not going to use you to do much. Amen? But you can also put yourself in a position where God will use you. That's what Paul and Silas did. You say, what did they do? What do I do in order to be used like Paul and Silas was used? What can I do so that God will use me to change the lives of other people? Well, number one, you have to be willing to do what God wants you to do. You have to be willing to do what God wants you to do. Now, if you think about it, Paul and Silas never intended to go to Philippi. In fact, they intended to kind of go the opposite direction, but God gave them different orders and redirected them. Look if you would back at verse 6. It says, Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now understand here that Paul and Silas were doing God's work, and they were faithful, they were serving the Lord, and Paul and Silas hadn't done anything wrong. They just wanted to minister to folks. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to go out and tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul and Silas had in their mind to go to a place called Bithynia. But God said no. God said, no, you're not going to go there. I've got a place for you to go. Why? Because God already knew that Lydia was this place that God had in mind. God already knew that this woman who had the spirit was there. And God already knew that there was a lost jailer that needed to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So God said, no, I don't want you to go where you want to go. I want you to go over here because this is my will for you to go over here. Look at verse 8. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Even though Paul and Silas had other plans, Paul and Silas were willing to instead go where God wanted them to go. They were willing to go where God was leading them to go. Now, if they had not obeyed God, if they did not do what God was leading them to do, if they were not willing to be where God wanted them to be, God would have never used them to witness to that jailer. He would have never used them to witness to Lydia. He never used them to cast out the spirit out of that woman. Let me ask you this morning, are you willing to do what God wants you to do? Are you willing to go where God wants you to go? You say, well, yeah, but you know, if God wants me to send me to a place, what happens if I don't want to go to that place? You know what I found? I found out that when you're where God wants you to be, there's a sense of peace that you have on the inside. There's a sense of closeness that you have with the Lord. But so many Christians today are all about the flesh. It's all about what we want. It's all about what our desires are. And I don't know if anyone in here is being called to the mission field. I pray every day that the Lord will call somebody from this church to the mission field, whether it be one of these young children that are in here, or maybe a person that's even older sitting in this sanctuary this morning. I don't know if somebody in here is even called to the ministry, but I do know this, that there is not going to be a lot of peace in your life until you answer that call. There will not be any peace in your life until you answer that call. And I think there are Christians and churches everywhere today who just don't have joy and peace on the inside because they're not willing to be where God wants them to be. But you'll never be used by the Lord if you're not willing to trust God and do what God wants you to do. Now, I can just imagine that there were probably some there that day that when Paul decided that he was going to go to Bithynia, but then all of a sudden he wakes up in the morning and says, Silas, we're not going to go to Bithynia anymore. We're going to turn because the Lord told me no. And I imagine there were probably some there that day that said, well, Paul, I thought we were going to Bithynia. Paul, this is not Bithynia. This is not where you wanted to go. And I can just imagine Paul saying, no, this is not even close to where I wanted to go, but it is where God is leading me. It is where God is telling me I need to go. May I ask you this morning, are you willing to do what God wants you to do and be where God wants you to be? Maybe the Lord has been working on you to do some sort of ministry in this church. Maybe the Lord is leading you towards something even bigger. When was the last time that you said to the Lord, Lord, here am I, send me? When was the last time that you did that? You say, oh, Pastor, this message is for young folks. I mean, you know, I'm older and I've served the Lord for a long time, and this message for young people. I'm too old to go to the mission field. I'm too old to get into ministry. Well, may I remind you of something? Listen, folks, if God is done with you, you're going to know it because you're going to be looking at Him. Amen? If you're still on this earth and He has not taken you home, that means He has something for you to do. And he's going to let you know what that is. And listen, when He lets you know what it is, just do it. It doesn't matter what your will is. It matters what the will of God is. And so if you're going to be used of God to do anything of Him, if you're ever going to be in a position to be used of God, you must be willing to do what God wants you to do and go where God wants you to go. The second thing, if you're going to be used of God and if you're going to make an impact in people's lives by the power of God working through you, you have to be a person of prayer. You have to be a person of prayer. Look back, if you would, at verse 13. It says, and on the Sabbath we went out to the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Drop down to verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. You'll also notice that down there later on when it talks about the jailer, it says that they were singing praises and praying. In all three instances, you have Paul and Silas praying. They were men of prayer. And you know, these men didn't start praying once they were in jail. They didn't wait till all of a sudden they were locked up in the stocks before they started praying. They were praying all the time. May I tell you, there's no such thing as an obedient Christian who isn't praying. There's no such thing as that. And a Christian who does not pray is not right with God. If you're one of those people, Christians today, if you're born again and you never pray, or you hardly ever pray, I'm just going to tell you, folks, that you're not right with God if you're not talking to Him. Listen, you know, if I could say all day long that I love my wife, but if I don't talk to her for the next month, she's probably going to get the idea that maybe I don't. Amen? I mean, listen, how can you have a relationship with somebody if you never talk to them? God wants to hear from His children. He's given you the Bible. He speaks to us through His Word. And so what does He want? He wants to have that communication. He wants you to read your Bible. He wants you to be praying. That's the reason He says pray without ceasing. Because at the end of the day, you know why He says pray without ceasing? Because He likes to hear from His children. He likes to hear how they're doing. He likes to hear what's on their heart. He likes to hear what's going on with their lives. That's what He wants to hear. And you know what? God can help us out if we just come to Him. I think about how many times that my kids got in trouble and I told them, I was like, listen, if you just come to me first, we could have handled this thing. Well, that's the same way it is with God. What do? We wait till we're in the stocks in the prison. We wait till it's the worst situation, and then we pray. How many of you ever known somebody that they only came around when they wanted something? You ever met somebody like that? I mean, they never sent a card at Christmas. They never say hi to you anywhere. But boy, when they need something, they're right there. You say, people like that just drive me crazy. Well, think about how it makes God feel. A lot of his children, they never show up until they need something. Amen? Now listen, Bible says that we receive not because we ask not. I'm not telling you not to ask things of God. But you know, prayer, if you're praying without ceasing, your prayer is going to involve a whole lot more than just what you want. It's going to involve something called praise and thankfulness. Amen? You know, every Thanksgiving we talk about being thankful. And it's just amazing to me why all of us have such a hard time praying for a long while. We think when we pray for 5 minutes, we've done God some great favor. 5 minutes. I doubt anybody in this room can say I've prayed for 3 hours straight. I doubt anybody in this room could say that. I couldn't say it. One thing, my knees wouldn't take it, amen. But the truth of the matter is, we are to be praying without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean out there driving your car with the eyes shut. That doesn't mean that, okay? That's only for preachers. That's the reason we always drive crazy. But listen, when it says pray without ceasing, that means you're to have the spirit of prayer all the time. You could talk to the Lord with your eyes open. Yeah, we all understand that, amen? You can talk to the Lord anytime. Eyes open, you can do it in your heart, you can talk to him. In your mouth, you can talk to him. He just wants to hear from you. And I'm just going to tell you right now, he's never going to use you very much at all to impact the lives of other people if you're not willing to get on your knees and pray to him every now and then. If you're not willing to pray without ceasing, if you're not constantly a person of prayer, he's not going to use you very much. Why? Because if you're not praying, you're not right with him, and God isn't going to bless you for not being right with him. Amen. Okay? And so that's the reason we have to be people of prayer. And so Paul and Silas, they were praying. So we have to be willing to do what God wants us to do if we're going to be used to impact people, if God's going to use us to impact the lives of people. We have to be people of prayer if God is going to use us to impact the lives of people. And then finally, the third thing, if you want to be used of God to make a difference in the lives of others, you have to publicly praise God. You have to publicly praise God. Look, if you would, at verse 25. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, think about this. Paul and Silas had just been, listen folks, when it says that they were beaten and given many stripes, I don't think you quite understand what that means. Because back in those days, when a person got whipped, I mean, usually the cat of nine tails was really one of the preferred weapons that they used when they whipped people. And so really, if you think about this, when Paul and Silas got many stripes, they were flogged, folks. We're not talking about just, you know, a little tap here and there. They got stripes. They were whipped. And so they had just been whipped, and now they were in a prison. They're in stocks. And you know, Paul and Silas, they could have complained. They could have murmured. They could have bellyached over their circumstances. But they didn't. Instead, they sang praises to God. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having exposed flesh on the back where you've been whipped, and you're sitting in this prison and your feet are in stocks? You're in pain. You've been thrown in there. You probably got dirt in your sores, and you're sitting there. And these people, when all of us would have been saying, man, I didn't deserve this. I was out there just minding my own business, giving people the gospel, and these people are mistreating me. I don't know my rights. But not them. You know what they did? They started singing praises to God. And it says the prisoners heard them. Now you're going to read later on, you know what happens? All of a sudden this earthquake happens, and all the doors open up. And really the prisoners could have left. But the prisoners didn't leave. Now we know Paul and Silas didn't leave, but it said the prisoners didn't leave either. You ever wonder why? Now we're not told exactly why. But I have a feeling that maybe those prisoners were wondering why Paul and Silas were singing those praises too, when they could have been murmuring, when they could have been bellyaching. They stayed. And when they stayed, all of a sudden you have this jailer who runs in there and he's trembling. He's getting ready to kill himself because the rule was if any of those prisoners escaped, he was going to be killed by the Romans. He was the jailer. It was his responsibility to make sure everybody stayed in jail. So he comes in there. He thinks he's going to die. He thinks he'll have to kill himself because he's thinking all the prisoners are gone because the doors are open. So he comes in there trembling. And there's Paul and Silas sitting there. And there are all these other prisoners. And he's trembling. And Paul says, "Don't kill yourself. We're all here. We haven't went anywhere." You know what he does? That jailer looks at Paul, looks at Silas, looks at all these other prisoners. The jailer had heard him sing too. The jailer heard him praying too. You know what he said? "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I always wondered what would happen if Paul did not sing those praises publicly in that prison. I wonder if he had been belly aching and complaining and murmuring because of the circumstances that he was in. Don't you know that those other prisoners would say, "Yeah, we've heard all this before. We're all innocent in here. None of us are really guilty in here." And don't you know that jailer would probably, if he heard Paul and Silas over there complaining, he's like, "Yeah, you're just like the rest of them. They're all complaining the same as you." But there was something different about Paul and Silas. You see, when they could have been murmuring and complaining and bellyaching, they were singing praises unto God. And let me ask you something. Do you think that made a difference? It made a difference when it come to the other prisoners. It made a difference when it come to that jailer. That jailer looked at Paul and Silas and said, "There's something different about you people, because I'm a jailer. I get people in here all the time and I hear it all. I hear about how everybody's been mistreated and how nobody in here is guilty. I've heard about it all, but you're different. You're over here singing praises." And because they were willing to do that and praise God, that jailer got saved. And not only did that jailer get saved, but the Bible says his family ended up getting saved too. You talking about having an impact on somebody. I mean, you're talking about affecting people's lives for generation after generation after generation. Why? Because two people said, "You know what? I can complain about this, or I could glorify God and trust that he knows what he's doing." And that's what they did. Folks, listen, I don't want to be just a picture on a piece of paper one day. I don't. I don't want just somebody look at me and go, "Oh, I don't know who that is. Kind of fat and ugly. Is he one of my ancestors? I don't want to be that. I don't want to be just a picture with a date born and a date died on there. I would like to think that God could use me to make a difference in the lives of people. So I'm going to ask you this morning, are you willing to do what God wants you to do? You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to go out there and tell people about Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something. We went out, me and Brother Bill went out yesterday, and we were out door knocking, witnessing to people. If you go out and you witness somebody, you give somebody a track, and that person gets saved, don't you understand the impact that God has made in that person's life by using you? I mean, do you understand that? We look at, "Oh, we're happy that person's going to heaven." I am too, but it goes much deeper than that. Now you've opened the door for their kids and their grandkids to hear the gospel as well, because you took the time to tell a person about Jesus Christ. It's impacting people. That's what God wants you to do. But there are a lot of Christians today who said, "Nah, it's not that important. I'll just go to church on Sunday, not tell anybody else about it." Okay. Then one of these days you'll just be a picture on a piece of paper. You'll be just a name on a roll of a church somewhere. Really nothing, really no impact upon people at all. Never really was used of God at all. I think about these kids. I think about when I was their age, the age of these kids that we're teaching back here. I remember when I was that, I remember a Sunday school teacher taking the time and doing a flannel graph right there, and I can still picture Samson on that flannel graph. I can still picture the Noah's Ark on that flannel graph. I can still remember the stories that they told me about that. You know what that teacher did? She made an impact on my life by God letting God use her to be a Sunday school teacher. And I honestly believe it had a lot to do with me getting saved. I do. What did God say? God said, "Go out and teach them about me, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." That's what we're told to do. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Are you willing to do what God wants you to do and go where God wants you to go? If God's calling you some sort of ministry today, do it! And God will use you mightily. Are you willing to be people of prayer? You're never going to know what God's will is if you aren't praying. You're never going to know what He wants you to do if you're not talking to Him. Got to be a line of communication there. And are you willing to make much about Jesus Christ and praise Him publicly? Don't you understand the impact that you have on people? You know, I'll tell you this. When we went out door knocking yesterday, there was one lady that we were talking to. And she was, I couldn't believe it. It was actually cold. And she had her door open for a while to sit there talking to us. It was really wonderful. You don't see it very often. But the second we said Jesus, now she was saved. But the second the name of Jesus was mentioned, I noticed her whole countenance just changed. She was just like, she was happy. She had a lot to say about Jesus. You know what? When you make much about Jesus Christ publicly, yeah, there are going to be those people that say, sorry, got to go. You're going to be those people that don't want anything to do with it. But you just don't understand the impact that you have. When you start praising Jesus publicly, talking about how wonderful Jesus is publicly, when you're out there publicly talking to people, you say, well, you know what? The Lord sure has blessed me. The Lord's given me this, and He's given me everlasting life to boot. Don't you know that's going to have an impact on people? You say, oh, I don't know about that. Sure had an impact on that jailer. Sure had an impact on those prisoners. Going to have an impact on them too. Listen, folks, if you want to be used of the Lord, go where He wants you to go. Do what He wants you to do. Pray and praise Him publicly. And I'm going to tell you, you do that, and God will use you in a mighty way to impact the lives of people to where you just won't be a picture on a piece of paper one of these days. Amen? We can actually have a life where we can say we did something for the Lord. So when you get to heaven, we say, I served you. I fought the good fight of faith. I finished my course. I did what I was supposed to do. And listen, not only are you going to get rewards in heaven, but you're going to get rewards for the lives that you changed down in this earth too, or allowed God to change through you. Are you willing to do that? Let's stand.